booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Good morning. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Good morning, Frank Morano. I'm Juliet Huddy. Here are the big stories making news this morning, everyone.
This is the Top 5 at 5.
Oh, man, what a shock that was yesterday. Goodbye to a groundbreaker, the man who achieved myriad firsts, including becoming the first Black Secretary of State, the first Black Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, among so many other accomplishments, has passed away. Colin Powell's family releasing a statement early Monday saying that he died of complications following COVID. Yes, he was vaccinated, but he apparently was battling multiple myeloma and Parkinson's as well. Powell was a New York native, born in Harlem, raised in Queens, and he was 84 years old. And so many famous faces are reacting to Powell's death, including one of the presidents under whom he served, George W. Bush, who says he noted that Powell was such a favorite of presidents that he earned the Presidential Medal of Freedom twice. He was highly respected at home and abroad. And most important, again, this is George W. Bush saying this, Colin was a family man and a friend. Others spoke out too, including President Joe Biden, current Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, and Vice President Kamala Harris, who you will hear in this audio montage.
Think of our Colin Powell. He's not only a dear friend and a patriot, one of our great military leaders and a man of overwhelming decency.
Colin Powell dedicated his extraordinary life to public service because he never stopped believing in America.
What an incredible American. He obviously served with dignity. He served with grace.
The Supreme Court is being asked to stop an abortion law in Texas a month after allowing it to begin. The Justice Department filed papers urging the case to be heard this year. The goal is to block the ban on abortions after 6 weeks while a legal challenge moves forward.
And the FDA plans to allow vaccinated Americans to receive a different booster shot from the vaccine that they originally received. This is a measure that health professionals have been petitioning for weeks. This is according to the Wall Street Journal.
Former President Donald Trump is suing the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th riot in an effort to keep records under wraps. The lawsuit filed in a D.C. district court yesterday is an attempt to block the House committee as it works to investigate his actions before and during the Capitol siege. The suit claims the subpoenas for said documents are unprecedented.
And those are your top five at five, people. We got 5:03 right now coming up. We have traffic on the sevens with Joe Nolan, weather, plus Matt is in with sports, and an incredible find, Frank, at the bottom of the sea, just off the coast of Israel. That's coming up in your history hit at 5:20.
All right. Well, let me tell you, we're going to have traffic with Joe Nolan coming up at 5:07. We are going to have sports with Matt coming up at 5:15. And we're going to have weather with Juliet. She's got a lot of weather coming for you. And we may have some nice weather in our agenda for the near future. But first, you are seeing this situation involving jury selection continuing in the murder trial of three white Georgia men accused of killing an unarmed Black man as he jogged through a neighborhood last year. 25-year-old Ahmaud Arbery was shot to death by men who say they were trying to carry out a citizen's arrest because they thought he was a burglary suspect. Jury selection is expected to continue today, but it will be a long process with notices sent out to 1,000 people in Glenn County. And all morning long, you're going to be hearing about the news regarding these COVID booster shots. COVID-19 booster shots could be on the horizon for millions more by the end of the week. The FDA has already given the green light to Pfizer boosters and is considering okaying Moderna and Johnson & Johnson boosters. An advisory panel recommended the go-ahead last week for full approval. That could come in the next day or two. Meantime, a CDC advisory committee will meet tomorrow and Thursday to consider it. If the answer is yes, millions could be rolling up their sleeves for COVID boosters by the weekend. And the nation's largest port is looking into all options as supply chain issues are hitting nationwide. Port of Long Beach, California, Executive Director Mario Cordero says this is an all-hands-on-deck situation. Major ports are dealing with an unprecedented pileup of cargo containers, and major retailers say they're scrambling to fill their shelves with certain items. Grocery stores reported thin supply of many popular items. In fact, our owner, John Catsimatidis, was just on Fox Business this week talking about it. He posted the article, the interview to his Facebook page, so you can give a look to it for yourself. And we've been following this story involving Thomas Jefferson and a major development yesterday as New York City officials officially voted to remove a statue of Thomas Jefferson from inside the City Hall chambers. This follows calls to remove the statue due to Jefferson being a slave owner. The city's Black, Latino, and Asian caucus had argued it's not reflective of the city's diversity and character. Others said it should remain given the positive impact Jefferson had on America despite his flaws. And Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says the Democrat strategy to combat rising inflation makes no sense. Speaking on the Senate floor, the Kentucky Republican said they want the government to print more money and put the burden on families that already can't afford it. Here was Senator Mitch McConnell yesterday. I guess we'll hear that later. He added that with winter approaching, energy bills are going to jump over 50% compared to last year. McConnell noted everyday costs for Americans like gas and groceries continue to jump.
I really have been kind of, I love my Italy trips, my Europe trips, but I really have been saying to John, I need to sort of lay on at a pool somewhere at some point and just relax and not move for at least a day. So maybe St. Croix is in the future. I don't know. Who knows? From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, today is going to be a bit warmer than it was yesterday. It was very chilly yesterday. Sunny today, high of 68 degrees. It will be slightly windy, though, so you're still going to have those chilly breezes. Tonight, we get down to 57, clear skies. Tomorrow, we're jumping up to the 70s, actually almost 80 degrees, 77 for a high tomorrow with partly cloudy skies. So we will see some sun, some clouds, some sun, some clouds. Tomorrow night, mostly clear skies. And as we head into Thursday, again, another 77 degree day with low humidity and those winds start to die down. So it's not going to feel so chilly. And I guess at 77 degrees, that's kind of nice. Thursday night, few clouds. Currently right now, the temperature in New York City is a chilly 49 degrees.
What's trending?
All right. A federal judge down in Florida has delayed Joel Greenberg's sex trafficking sentence by 5 months so he can cooperate, allegedly, with a probe into GOP firebrand Matt Gaetz. U.S. District Judge Gregory Presnell agreed Monday to hold off on sentencing until March. That's basically another 5 months so that Greenberg could help prosecutors with their probe into sex trafficking crimes, some of which Gaetz is being accused of. Greenberg, the former Seminole County tax collector, is facing up to 12 years in prison after pleading guilty this past May to six federal crimes, including sex trafficking. Gaetz, meantime, is accused of, among other things, paying a 17-year-old girl to have sex with him. He has denied those allegations. Also, just days after China reportedly tested a hypersonic nuclear weapon, the country denied the claims. They say it was no big deal, just an experimental spacecraft meant for peaceful use. Mm-hmm. Meantime, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is speaking out. He says the U.S. is, quote, closely watching the story. The weapon was reportedly carried into orbit on a rocket before circling Earth and then crashing down on a target at speeds of up to 3,800 miles an hour. Now, it actually missed that target, but not by much, just by like about 20 or 25 miles. That obviously concerning leaders around the globe. What's more, this, whatever you're going to call it, it can apparently break through missile defenses. At least that is the word. And a Republican congressman is blasting the Biden administration. Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin accusing Biden of being complacent when it comes to China. The lashing comes just days after news that the country, again, had launched this hypersonic nuclear weapon.
Let me tell you what's trending around the world. A 96-year-old German woman is due in court today after earlier this month skipping out on her trial for alleged Nazi war crimes during World War II. Irmgard Fürchner is suspected of having aided and abetted more than 11,000 cases of murder at a concentration camp where she worked as a secretary. The trial is taking place in an adolescent court because she was only 18 at the time. And North Korea yesterday fired at least one ballistic missile into the sea in what South Korea's military described as a weapon likely designed for submarine-based launches, marking possibly the most significant demonstration of the North's military might since President Biden took office. The launch came hours after the U.S. reaffirmed its offer to resume diplomacy on North Korea's nuclear weapons program. Russia yesterday suspended its mission at NATO and ordered the closure of the alliance's office in Moscow in retaliation for NATO's expulsion of Russian diplomats earlier this month. NATO withdrew the accreditation of 8 Russian officials in its Brussels headquarters, saying it believes they've been secretly working as Russian intelligence officers. And finally, an Israeli scuba diver has salvaged an ancient sword off the country's Mediterranean coast that experts say dates back to the Crusades. Israel's Antiquities Authority said that the man was on a weekend dive in northern Israel when he spotted a trove of ancient artifacts that included anchors, pottery, and a meter-long yard, which is a yard-long sword. So that is pretty cool. And that is what's trending around the world.
All right. And also, if you had COVID and you noticed that your bank account is a little lighter, shall we say, here's one possible reason. A new study found around 70% of patients with private insurance had to pay out-of-pocket expenses despite COVID waivers being put in place. It turns out certain facilities and pharmacies and transportation modes were left out of the waivers, costing some folks up to $4,000. And also, your upcoming vacation may get waylaid by vaccinations. It turns out the TSA is lagging big time when it comes to its employees getting their jabs. That has officials worried. Enter New York Senator Chuck Schumer to the rescue. He says the key to solving this temporary dilemma is all about the canines. Yeah, he thinks that the agency needs to come up with a contingency plan just in case its workforce can't deal with the holiday travel spikes, and says specially trained dogs can offset the problem by helping with explosive and drug detection as well as luggage screening. Federal workers face a November 22nd deadline to get their shot. Roughly 40% of the TSA's workers are still unvaccinated. And heading over to New Jersey, a high school there sparking quite a bit of controversy after its students chose two girls as homecoming king and queen. So king and queen. And administrators reacted by adding two boy winners. Passaic County Technical Institute students were very upset by this, so they held a sit-in yesterday over what they felt was a slight on the females' victories. Seniors Zoe Nelson and Jaquel Perez had won the vote for homecoming king and queen, respectively. But school officials expanded the vote to include two.
Go ahead. You dropped out for a second there. Sorry about that.
Oh, one of the queens decided not to attend the crowning event and said that she felt slighted. The school's principal apologized and invited the winners to speak at the next school board meeting. And a Louisiana Republican is revisiting an idea that comes up every now and then. Senator Bill Cassidy telling Axios that he thinks aging leaders should have to take cognitive tests. I'm so with this. Basically, all leaders, actually, and I think that's kind of what he's getting to here, basically to make sure that they've still got all their faculties. Cassidy is a physician, so he kind of knows what he's talking about. And he says by the time folks reach their 80s, they begin to see a rapid decline. He says Supreme Court justices, members of Congress, and the executive branch should all submit to an annual evaluation, saying that they have a sacred responsibility to the people of the United States. And I think it's time for Matt Sapienza to step in and give us a little bit of a sports action.
Thank you, Juliet. And here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. Red Sox starter Eduardo Rodriguez walked off the mound with a 6-run lead and a message for Carlos Correa and the rest of the Houston Astros. That message? It's Boston's time. Tapping his wrist to mimic Correa's Game 1 celebration, Rodriguez rode 4 more Boston homers, including Kyle Schwarber's record-setting Grand Slam, to a 12-3 victory last night as the Red Sox took a 2-1 lead in the best-of-7 AL Championship Series. One game after J.D. Martinez and Rafael Devers each hit Grand Slams, Schwarber had a second-inning 3-0 pitch 430 feet right into the right field grandstand. Boston is the first team ever with 3 slams in a postseason series. The Astros need to win at least one to send the series back to Houston. And that's your sports at 15 and 45. I'm Matt Sapienza, and that's WABC Sports.
All right, we'll have traffic and transit on the sevens with Joe Nolan in just a minute. But here's a story that I just love. A vase that was bought for about $5 at a thrift store in the Pacific Northwest may end up selling for over $15,000. After it was purchased, it was identified as a rare glass vase from 1902. The distinct tan vase with two-tone blue was designed by Austrian Coleman Moser. The piece will be showcased at the Tiffany, Lalique, and Art Glass, including Art Nouveau and Art Deco auction. The vase will likely go for between $10,000 and $15,000 when it's auctioned. So you never know. It pays to shop at thrift stores. You never know what you're going to find.
Quick check on the weather. Today is going to be a bit warmer than it was yesterday. We will still have those winds. Man, those winds were kind of crazy yesterday, too. Today, we're getting up to a high of 68 with lots of sun. Tomorrow, we're looking at warmer temperatures, 77 degrees for a high with a mix of sun and clouds. And Thursday, partly cloudy skies and 77 again. So the next couple of days after today will be pretty warm with light winds. It's actually not too bad for the next few days, but I'll be out of here on Thursday. So I'm just kidding. WABC News Time is 5:19. Frank.
All right. Well, we are going to get an update from Sid Rosenberg about what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show in just a bit. And we're going to hear from our newsmaker this morning, Tanya Ryman, who is going to analyze some of the body language in a terrific piece that we saw with Vladimir Putin yesterday. You're really going to be interested in hearing her take on that. And we'll also have a whole bunch of entertainment news coming your way in just a little bit. But first, let us go back in time and find out what happened in the past.
And now, it's Huddy's History Hit.
Oh, thank you. They are calling him the ancient hipster. German archaeologists have discovered the remains of a man who likely lived 1,500 years ago. He was buried with weapons, including a battle axe, a lance, a shield, and a longsword. Oh, this is so cool. As well as a horse and even a pair of scissors. And this leads experts to believe that he was some sort of warrior, clearly a wealthy one. But it's one other object that had scientists on scene kind of twiddling their mustaches. Wealthy warrior man was also buried laying next to an intricate ivory comb. They believe that this was used to style his beard. Hence the whole hipster guy. Fancy. And that wasn't the only discovery. Workers also found the remains of a woman nearby. She was probably buried in the 6th century and was laying with jewelry, a weaving sword, preserved eggs, and a red bowl that apparently was brought all the way over from Tunisia. So I love these stories. I could listen to these stories all day long. WABC News Time is 5:21.
All right. We have one of my favorite body language experts on with us this morning to analyze a story that has gotten a great deal of attention. She's the author of the book, The Power of Body Language, How to Succeed in Every Business and Social Encounter, Tanya Ryman. Tanya, thanks so much for joining us on the radio this early in the morning.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us what the story is. I know Russian television is launching quite an attack on TV anchor Hadley Gamble. She apparently moderated this session at an energy forum in Moscow. What is the controversy exactly?
Apparently, she's being seen as someone who is exploiting her attractiveness, her beauty, her sexuality in order to kind of, you know, boggle the mind of Putin and take him out of his place.
Here's the interesting thing, Tanya. So she's sitting down with her. I watched this video. So it's just her and it's just Putin, and they're sitting in chairs across from each other, kind of comfy chairs. At one point during this interview, he gets frustrated with her and literally says that she's beautiful and she's pretty, but she needs to listen more or pay attention or something like that. So it kind of came through as I was watching it as this, you know, sort of passive aggressive sexist comment. So because he was really chiding her, and he got a lot of flack for that around the world. But the Kremlin now is saying that they're standing by their man. This Putin propagandist, Vladimir Solyatov, took to the airwaves. He hosts a show, and he accused this woman, Gamble, Hadley Gamble, of using her feminine wiles to distract Putin. He says that she caked her legs in oily shimmer. That's what he says. And that's what we used to do, by the way, when we were on Fox. They give us this goo and you put a shimmer on your legs. I swear to God.
No pantyhose, just put it on.
Right, exactly. Nice. Roger Ailes was like, no pantyhose. But also this guy says that Ms. Gamble looked ready for the catwalk. So he basically is saying that she kind of tarted herself up purposely. I read some comments by another body language expert who I was not impressed with at all, I have to say. She's no Tanya Ryman. And this woman said, yeah, she was totally sexualizing herself. What did you think when you were watching this?
No, she didn't. First of all, this is what happens. You have to know what somebody's personality is. When you look at this woman, she is vivacious. She's bold. She's passionate. She's fun. And she's also, when you look at her on most of her interviews, she is wearing outfits that are more alluring. But that's because she's proud of herself. It does not interfere with her intellect, and it doesn't typically interfere with the person she's interviewing. So when he said that, just so you know, when he started calling her beautiful, but obviously not, you know, you can't be beautiful and smart simultaneously, you can see her mouth just suddenly tightens, which right. is an obvious sign of disdain. And she literally, that leg that they're accusing her of, you know, pushing out like that Sharon Stone moment, she like takes it and points it in the opposite direction. And that's an unconscious movement to show that she's suddenly not on the same page. Like, you know, she's gotten a disconnect from him. Why she was doing that with her leg, if you watch all of her interviews, which I have, she keeps her right leg over her left leg. Now, when you're sitting in a position for 20 minutes and you have your mm-hmm. leg crossed, the bottom leg deadens. So you have to occasionally either cross your legs, which I'm glad she did not, because then it could have been called a Sharon Stone moment, but she needed to stretch that leg. And that's exactly what she was doing. In terms of her licking her lips, guess what? Watch Putin. He licked his lips about 35 times. So yep. when she did it, you know, it comes across because they're doing all these little cut and paste and they're making everything that she does look salacious and flirtatious.
Thank you.
But it was not at all. This woman is a pure professional. Again, agreed. She looks beautiful. And is that a sin? No, it's not. She knows how she looks, and it's very good. The one thing that was funny, though, and this is why I know that she's a confident woman. I watched all the videos between her and Putin. And at one point, they're talking about, you know, is everybody who's, you know, a journalist in your area, do they all have to worry about being a foreign agent? And what about if you have, you know, your newest person, your Nobel Prize winner, or, you know, they have to worry that they're going to be considered now a foreign agent. And you can see that she starts doing this shallow breathing. And some people who are not really familiar with nonverbal communications will be like, oh, my God, that's it. That's sexual arousal. When in fact, it's not. That was her putting a question out that did actually get her a little bit on that fight or flight. So your autonomic system kind of kicks
right,
in,
right.
oxygenates the blood to prepare. And she nailed it. She did really well.
You know, I have to say, and Tanya, you've been there too. We used to work together at Fox, and we would sit on the sets where you know, there was no desk in front of you. That was intentional by some of the executives. And, you know, you would get these horrible messages from viewers who would accuse us of being tarts and all this stuff because of the way we were dressed. It was crazy town. I mean, this woman was trying to do her job. That's all she was trying to do. So I'm glad that you, came up with the same analysis as I did.
Thank you,
yeah, all of her movements were completely benign. I didn't see anything other than, and you know, when she walked out on stage, her dress went down to her knees practically. It wasn't like she was wearing some little tutu
right.
going out there, you know, trying to
yeah.
show off all her happy pieces. She was going out there as a professional woman with beautiful, by the way, amazing shoes. So good for her.
All right. Thanks, Tanya. That's Tanya Ryman. WABC News Time is 5:25. We're going to get into entertainment right now. Kanye West is no more. He is now officially known as Ye. He actually applied for an official name change, and a judge signed off on the petition. So his legal name is now Ye, according to these new legal documents that TMZ got their hands on. He won't have a middle name. He won't have a last name. He's just Ye, like Madonna, like Cher, Yee. And a very sad story. A man fell to his death after falling over an upper level of the Chase Center during a Phish concert on Sunday night. The band was playing its final of three shows in a row at the venue. I believe that's in San Francisco, when officials were told that there was a person in need of medical attention. This guy apparently fell a pretty fair distance, and he was declared dead at the scene. I wish I had a happier story to end on.
Shame.
Well, I will say this. Sid is probably listening right now. Lala and Rand from the Vanderpump Rules Bravo show, they are broken up now. So just FYI. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're looking at a sunny day with some light winds, actually, so it'll feel a little bit chilly. We're going up to 68 degrees. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies and a low of 57. Tomorrow, 77 degrees. Same thing on Thursday. And we're looking both days at a mix of sun and clouds, but the winds are starting to settle down, so it won't be as windy on Wednesday and Thursday. The nights look pretty nice. Low 50s, maybe right up there in the 60s, low 60s. Just kind of depends on how the next few days play out. And as I'm looking forward into the weekend, it looks like Friday's okay. We may have some showers Saturday, and it looks sunny on Sunday. 49 degrees currently in Manhattan.
All right, coming up in just a minute, we'll give you a rundown of the big stories that you're going to be hearing about all day. I'll tell you what the stock market did yesterday and how inflationary pressures are causing investors in some cases to panic. And if you are a city enthusiast like me, then you are going to get a big kick out of this morning's Jet Set Juliet travel report. But we'll be right back.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you, Milton. WABC News Time is 5:31. Coming up, we have traffic on the sevens with Joe Nolan. I'll take a look at how the weather is shaping up for later on in the week. But first, here are the big stories making news this morning. Goodbye to a groundbreaker, the man who achieved myriad firsts, including becoming the first Black Secretary of State and the first Black Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, among other accomplishments, has passed away. Colin Powell's family releasing a statement early Monday saying he died of complications following COVID. He was vaccinated, but he apparently was battling multiple myeloma and Parkinson's. Powell was a New York native. He was born in Harlem, raised in Queens. He was 84 years old.
Think about Colin Powell.
So,
he's not really.
Sorry. Go ahead. Hold on a second. Just let me. I said, let's pause for 1 second. And I wanted to hear that whoosh, and then I wanted to go into this next story. So many famous faces are now reacting to Powell's death, including one of the presidents under whom he served, George W. Bush. Bush said that Powell was, quote, such a favorite of presidents that he earned the Presidential Medal of Freedom twice. He was highly respected at home and abroad, and most importantly, Colin was a family man and a friend. Those are, again, the words from George W. Bush. Others speaking out, too, including, as you heard just there, President Biden, current Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, and Vice President Kamala Harris, who you will hear in this audio montage now.
Think of our Colin Powell. He's not only a dear friend and a patriot, one of our great military leaders and a man of overwhelming decency.
Colin Powell dedicated his extraordinary life to public service because he never stopped believing in America.
What an incredible American. He obviously served with dignity. He served with grace.
A hacker is blamed for defacing part of former President Trump's website, replacing it with a speech from Turkish President Erdogan. Visitors to a subdomain yesterday saw a message from someone claiming to be a Turkish activist. The same hacker claimed responsibility for defacing now President Biden's campaign website in November.
The FDA plans to allow vaccinated Americans to receive a different booster shot from the vaccine that they originally received. This is according to the Wall Street Journal. The agency apparently will not be recommending one booster shot over another, and instead they're just going to allow individuals and their vaccine providers to choose a different brand at their own discretion. So that's very interesting, I have to say.
The candidates for mayor of New York City disagree on whether there should be a COVID vaccine mandate for children. Democrat Eric Adams says he would likely force children to get COVID vaccinated if he wins City Hall. He says kids have to get the polio and measles vaccine to go to school, so COVID should be added to that list. Republican candidate Curtis Lewis says he does not want a COVID vaccine mandate for kids because he's worried that they would be kicked out of school if their parents say no to the shot.
And those are your top five at 5:30. WABC News time is 5:34. Let's get into some lighter headlines now. Kim Kardashian, reality star, criminal justice crusader, billionaire, and now art heist solver, sort of. What can this woman do? What can't she do? Here's the story with Ms. Kardashian. Back in 2018, she happened to be at an event at the Met. She took a picture standing next to a first century gold coffin with the Egyptian priest Ned Jamenk inside. The Met had purchased this coffin for $4 million, but apparently that photo of Kim and Ned went viral and some perceptive eyes happened to see it. Long story short, the coffin, it turns out, had been stolen and sold to the Met by some folks with fraudulent documents. Anyway, they were caught up. See, there was an investigation that had been going on for a while, and apparently they caught the guys and the case has been solved. Moving on now, a guy named Severin Beckwith had a brush with fame recently, and not at all in a good way. The 30-something regular guy, I guess you could say, was taking a nap. This is so messed up. He was taking a nap at a lodge in the Appalachians when he says U.S. Marshals stormed into his room, they handcuffed him, and they held him at gunpoint. I mean, I think you know where this is going. Someone had mistaken him for the country's most famous fugitive, Brian Laundrie. Beckwith says he was fingerprinted. He was asked to shave his beard to help prove that he was just Severin and not Brian. Ultimately, they realized, the authorities realized that he was just Severin. He and his traveling companion were given a free night's stay at the lodge. I feel like maybe they should have been given something else. I don't know. I guess it's not the lodge's fault. But meantime, fans of the world's most famous restaurant will be bummed to hear the latest news after staffers cried foul, you know, because they serve chicken wings. Hooters bosses did a 180 and reversed a policy on new, I guess you call them booty shorts. The skin tight shorts were more likely. They're basically underwear. I mean, really like Brazilian style underwear. And many of the female servers were not happy about that. So after keeping abreast of the complaints over the last few days, Hooters decided to allow the waitresses to decide for themselves whether to wear the old style or the newer, more revealing style. you're not a Hooters person.
No, I walked by. I haven't been in a Hooters in at least 20 years. I walked by one at the Tropicana in Atlantic City on Saturday, and then I saw this news had just broken on Sunday about the new underwear, and I was wondering how some of the waitresses
you wanted to
would
just
react.
Yeah, you were wondering, are they wearing them yet?
No. I mean, look, it's a couple more inches of leg doesn't do much for me.
It is going to be a nice day, 68 degrees, lots of sun, maybe some winds there. So keep an eye on that. Won't feel as warm as 68 degrees, but with the sun beating down, it should be pretty nice. Tomorrow, we're looking at 77 and a mix of clouds and sun. Same thing for Thursday, 77 and a mix of clouds and sun. But the one positive with that is that the winds are dying down to about 5 to 10 miles an hour. Weekend is shaping up to look okay. Looks like a nice Friday and a nice Sunday. Maybe Saturday we'll get some rain, but that could change. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 49 degrees.
Biz Buzz.
The opening bell rings this morning after stocks close out the day mixed yesterday. Markets rebounded after opening lower on weak economic data from China. Tesla and Netflix gained ground as investors turned to tech and consumer stocks ahead of third quarter results. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones lost 36 points, the S&P 500 rose 15, and the NASDAQ climbed 124. And the CEO of Albertsons says shoppers can expect higher prices and spotty availability, but the effects won't be dire for the supermarket chain or its customers. In an interview yesterday, Vivek Shankaran said current food shortages are nothing like what we saw during the early days of the pandemic. He says that the company's 2,200 stores are providing proper alternatives when specific items aren't available. And Zillow says they will stop buying homes for the rest of the year as they attempt to work through the backlog of homes that have already been purchased. The iBuyer model, used by the online real estate company, purchases homes directly from sellers and then relists them after minor work is done. Zillow has been unable to close, renovate, and resell the homes quick enough due to the recent shortage on labor and materials. The company will still market and sell the homes acquired through Zillow Offers, which has purchased close to 4,000 homes in the second quarter of this year alone. And the co-founder of Microsoft is denying reports he was once warned about sending inappropriate emails. The Wall Street Journal reporting today that the company's president confronted Bill Gates in 2008. He allegedly told him to stop flirting with a worker and suggesting they meet up. The report goes on to say Gates agreed and retired shortly after as a full-time employee. His spokesperson says this is nothing but recycled rumors. Juliet?
Thank you very much. That Zillow thing is such an interesting story. I mean,
absolutely.
I wonder if when they buy your house, do you get fair market value? Do you get a little bit more? I'd be so curious to hear a little bit more about that story. Maybe you can do some research on that for tomorrow's show.
Well, at least you won't have to worry about it for the rest of the year.
That's true.
Come January, we'll have an answer to that.
That's true. And I wonder, like, did they send people out or do they just do it by the pictures online? So many questions. All right. It's time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. Every year, as I said yesterday, Travel and Leisure magazine, which is one of my favorites. I love the pretty pictures. It asks readers to rate their travel experiences from local trips to world vacations. And they look at things like islands, ships, hotels, airlines, all sorts of things. But this week we're focusing on cities. Each day I'll take you to a region of the world and give you the top five cities based on the votes from Travel and Leisure readers. But also based on things like culture, cuisine, friendliness, shopping, landmarks, attractions, and overall value. Today we're heading south of the border. These five cities were voted the best in Mexico for 2021. And we start at number five with Zihuatanejo. This is one of the most important seaports on the Pacific coast. It's also, I would say, you know, comparatively, it's one of the least known tourist cities or places that tourists would really like in Mexico, despite it being one of the prettiest, most colorful fishing villages I've ever seen. Maybe that's why it's considered Mexico's hidden jewel. One of my California friends actually said, and I hope it stays that way, it's less frenetic, it's less touristy than the hotspots like Cabo and Puerto Vallarta, which are on the West Coast. But that doesn't mean it's backwards. Trust me, it's becoming a real hotspot, a go-to spot for globetrotters looking for the next best thing. So you'll find elegant modern resorts starting to pop up alongside, you know, the old men and their fishing poles. It's cheap too. This is crazy. Listen to this. A barbecue on the beach for six people, like set up by somebody else, will run you about $15. That's not per person either. That's $15. Amazing. Number four on the list is Merida. This town, I swear, I actually looked at property here online. If Zihuatanejo is the hidden jewel of Mexico, then Merida is Mexico's most underrated city. I actually got to know it by watching House Hunters International on HGTV. Apparently, quite a few Americans picked up on the fact that Merida is hot, hot, hot right now. And they decided to head down and they actually ended up staying. The town is located on the Yucatan Peninsula near the Gulf of Mexico. It's close to UNESCO World Heritage Sites. It has an amazing foodie scene. But I think the thing that stands out to most Travel and Leisure voters is the architecture. Merida, like many towns in Mexico, was a colonial city, and it really still retains the charm of days gone by with its broad avenues and stunning cathedrals. The homes come in a rainbow of these sherbet kind of colors, and you can rent many of them on Airbnb and other similar sites for virtually nothing. And actually, apart from the pretty colors, they don't look like much from the outside, but once you go in and you pass through this courtyard, oftentimes there's a fountain in the courtyard, you enter a Mexican nirvana. I swear these places are amazing. The city is also dotted with Beaux-Arts mansions surrounding leafy squares filled with activity from dawn till dusk. Not surprisingly, Merida has been named the American Capital of Culture several times. And I'm going to get to number three. I'm running out of time, so I'll do two and one tomorrow. But Oaxaca is number three on the list. This is another UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it's quickly becoming known by outsiders as kind of the sleeper hit city. It's not as touristy as other spots around the country, and travelers say that is exactly the appeal. It's also another colonial rich town. So you have beautiful architecture, colors, cobblestone streets, and locals take a real pride in their culture there. If you're thinking about going to Mexico anytime in the next week or so, I would suggest heading straight to Oaxaca. I've mentioned this before, but Oaxaca is known internationally for its show-stopping Dia de los Muertos festivities. You'll find events, though, music, costumes, and altars all around the city. Not only during Dia de los Muertos, but pretty much all year round. Foodies go straight to the city's cafes for some of the most unique cuisine in the world. Oaxacan food relies on the old go-tos like corn, beans, and chili peppers and stuff like that. But they take creativity a step forward. They use chocolate, mezcal, and their favorite Oaxacan cheese in some of the premier dishes. Travelers love Oaxaca for its authenticity. It's way down south, so you really have to want an adventure to get there. But it is worth it. And those are your top, well, your three of your top five. Tomorrow I'll get to number two and number one. And also some of the best cities up north past the U.S. into Canada. Frank?
5:45, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank, and good morning, everybody. Here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. Red Sox starter Eduardo Rodriguez walked off the mound with a 6-run lead and a message for Carlos Correa and the rest of the Houston Astros. Message? Now it's Boston's time. Tapping his wrist to mimic Correa's Game 1 celebration, Rodriguez rode four more Boston homers, including Kyle Schwarber's record-setting Grand Slam, to a 12-3 victory last night as the Red Sox took a 2-1 lead in the best-of-seven AL Championship Series. One game after J.D. Martinez and Rafael Devers each hit Grand Slams, Schwarber hit a second-inning 3-0 pitch 430 feet into the right-field grandstand. Boston is the first team ever with three slams in a postseason series. The Astros need to win at least one to send the series back to Houston. Hockey now. Artemi Panarin scored in overtime. Igor Shesterkin stopped 40 shots. And the Rangers beat the Toronto Maple Leafs 2-1 last night. Mika Zibanejad had a goal and an assist for New York, the 100th two-point game of his NHL career. Michael Bunting scored for Toronto, which got 21 saves from Jack Campbell. An amazing game. And that's your sports at 15:45. I'm Matt Sapienza. You make it a great Tuesday. I will see you right back here tomorrow.
A couple of my Instagram followers have messaged me, and they were asking me to talk about my skincare routine. I'm very proud of my skin. I inherited some good genes from my mom's side of the family, but I'm very careful with my skin. But I do have to say that I've got nice, healthy skin because of my skincare protocol. It's also because I think it's helped out by the fact that I admit that I do a little aesthetic extras once in a while. And one of the places that I would highly recommend, or actually the place that I would highly recommend, is Dolce Aesthetics. They provide a wide range of services. You can get facials and stuff like that. They do a great job with facials, you know, where they do all sorts of things that will tighten your skin, smooth your skin, all that business. But if you're also finding that you tend to have a little bit of, I don't know, just it's your skin looks tired or it's kind of sagging, here's what else they do. They do Botox. They do fillers. Don't go too crazy on the fillers. They also do cellulite reduction on other parts of your body, laser hair removal, things like that. They pretty much are a one-stop shop if you want to get your skin and your body looking fresh and healthy and just alive again. I love this place. I love Jen over there. Dolce Aesthetics New York has locations in Howard Beach, Glendale, Brooklyn, and they also opened an Oceanside. So they are really convenient. They're very accessible. They're easy to get to. And if you want to experience prime results right now, I would highly suggest you text the word Dolce to 95000 and you'll get 10% off of your next treatment. Visit them at DolceAestheticsNewYork.com. That's Dolce, D-O-L-C-E, Aesthetics, NY.com.
And informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Yes, WABC News Time is 5:48. I jumped the gun a little bit there. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, nice day today, 68, sunny. Tonight, clear and partly cloudy. We're going to get down to 57 degrees. Wednesday and Thursday, we're looking at 77 both days for a high. Partly cloudy skies. I like to think of it as partly sunny because I do see some sun popping out there. Very low humidity, and the evenings are going to be very nice too. The humidity kind of jumps up in the evenings, but still probably nice to sleep with your windows open if you like it a little cool. I actually had to close my windows last night because it got so cold. The weekend is shaping up to look pretty decent. Friday and Sunday look nice so far. Saturday, we may get some rain. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 49 degrees. And let's see. WABC News Time is 5:51. Let's get back to some more headlines. Might not have been popular with the adults, but it is saving children. A new study, Frank, shows Philadelphia's soda tax had a huge impact on local high school students. The tax went into effect back in 2017. And since then, the weekly number of soft drinks that kids guzzled dropped an average of 30%. The biggest drop, 38%, was among white children. But obese kids also said no to the sugary drinks, going from an average of 6 drinks a week to just 4. So I guess that's good news.
Are you, you're not a soda drinker, obviously.
No, never.
Yeah.
Once I saw a little, I think it was a YouTube video of somebody pouring a specific soda down this down their drain and what happened. I was like, never
but
again.
But even diet soda and stuff, you don't.
I mean, unless I have to, you know, unless there's nothing else to drink but a Diet Coke, then I'll do that. But otherwise, no. What about you?
Yeah, four times a year.
That's because you drink booze. Like me, I'm forced to drink. I drink so much diet soda because guess what? I can't do vodka rum and tequila anymore. Believe me.
You can drink club soda.
That's
so boring.
Oh, no. If you squirt one of those little Dasanis or Mio's into it, the flavoring.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
Good.
I mean, as long as it's carbonated water because I, at my age, I burp all the time, so.
How lovely. I mean, at your age. Don't say that. I'm right there with you, and I don't do that such things.
We've been telling you all morning. We'll get back to Sid in just a minute. We've been telling you all morning about the passing of General Colin Powell at the age of 84 from complications from COVID while battling cancer. I did want to play a little bit of a terrific interview that our own Rita Cosby did last night with General David Petraeus, in which General Petraeus talked about what this means for the country and what an incredible statesman General Powell was.
He was someone who had a touch with soldiers that was really unique. The affability, the deep laugh that just carried everyone along, the energy, the example, the inspiration.
As General Petraeus on with Rita Cosby last night, you could hear the whole discussion at WABCradio.com.
That's very cool. I actually met him and I took a picture with him. I think I was with Monica Crowley, as a matter of fact, who's in my picture. Maybe that was with Donald Rumsfeld. But either way, there was a picture with me and Colin Powell. We were at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And, you know, this guy is being, he's being approached by everybody and their brother at this event. And he takes time. He actually stood there and took time to ask, you know, how we're doing, how we enjoy Fox News at the time. I mean, he really took some time with us, which I was just blown away by. Rumsfeld was a little quicker to get away. But so I understand the affability. And he was just a very pleasant man, really was. Finally, maybe there's hope here. A woman from India, Frank, is now the oldest person to have a baby, apparently, or one of the oldest people to have a baby. Jivun Ben Rabari and her husband conceived their newborn son through IVF. Now, dad is 75. Okay. Ooh. That's pretty old for dad. Mom is 70. So here's the thing. She didn't have an ID. So initially doctors were like, but apparently they've become believers. Apparently they've figured it all out. Something in the water over there, because just a couple of years ago, another Indian woman gave birth to twins at 74. Twins.
Wow.
Twins.
God bless her.
So maybe,
the twin birth also IVF?
I'm guessing it was. I mean, I actually didn't do the research on that one, but I'm going to say yes.
Yeah,
because twins, that's a lot. So, honey, are you listening? Maybe we can have those triplets we've always dreamed of.
All right. Well, here is Sid Rosenberg, who is the co-host of the Bernie and Sid Show. Sid, what's coming up in 5 minutes?
Well, 5 minutes, we've got, of course, Bo Dietl every Tuesday. Very, very entertaining. Bo Dietl stops by. I got a phone call last night, and how's this for a visual? I'm naked in bed, I swear to God. And it's,
oh.
I know. It's Curtis Sliwa. Sliwa's like beside himself. I got him, Sid. I'm like, Curtis, just come in at 8:40. There's a couple of people now, and they start to call me or text me. I don't even converse. I go, just call. Just come in. Because that's basically what they want to do anyway. Peter King, Curtis Sliwa. So Curtis is on at 8:40. He's going to drop a bombshell on the guy leading the race for mayor 2 weeks from today, folks, Eric Adams. And then we'll talk to gubernatorial candidate Rob Astorino, who is in the story that's on the front page of today's New York Post. He actually witnessed some of these planes coming in and out of Westchester County Airport with these migrants that Joe Biden has been secretly doing. So Bo Dietl, Curtis Sliwa, Rob Astorino, and on page 28 of today's New York Post, a two-page spread, it reads this, inside tale of how Real Housewives went from TV flop to hit First Wives Clubs, with a picture of Andy Cohen and a bunch of the girls, nobody from New Jersey or New York, but as you said, Frank, once again, Sid, ahead of the curve.
That's right.
Yeah. By the way, I've watched those shows since day one, and they've always been amazing.
You know, it's funny about always been amazing. They actually, over the summer, funny, Drew, that you say that. Over the summer, they went back and they aired every initial episode from all of them. Atlanta.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did. And it
you know
was,
how popular these shows are? I mean, they're
hugely popular. It was awful, by the way. It was awful television.
Oh, yeah.
But I was with you.
Well, I mean, it was so unique at that point. We were
yes.
like, I mean, it could have been a train wreck. And we were like, this is fantastic. Did you hear about Lala and Rand?
Yeah, I never understood that. He looks like Fred Flintstone. He's a fat little guy, never shaves, never wears anything
but
a black t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, you didn't understand it? The guy's filthy rich.
Who cares? She can get whatever she wants. She's rich, too, and she's hot. And so, yeah, she broke up with him after 3 years. I watch Vanderpump Rules every Tuesday, including tonight, and I go, why is she with him? What is that? So it made sense they broke up, to be honest.
Well, she had a lot of access to Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
Yes,
and
she
is not afraid to admit, Lala Kent, sleeping away to the top. It's not a bad thing to do.
Wow.
It's going to be a nice day today. Sunny. Cool. It's going to warm up by tomorrow, though. We're getting up to 77 degrees on Wednesday, 77 on Thursday. We will see some sun, but we also will see some clouds rolling in by tomorrow and Thursday. Friday, the weekend is shaping up to look okay. You've got partly cloudy skies on Friday, maybe some rain on Saturday, and back to sun on Sunday. But it does get a lot cooler. We will start to see those classic fall temperatures finally sticking around as of towards the end of the week. Currently, the temperature is 49 degrees right now in New York City. And one more thing, if you've got around $400,000 laying around, here's an idea. A microscope owned by Charles Darwin and passed down through his family for two centuries is going up on the auction block. It was designed in 1825, and experts believe Darwin used it in his early years. You can head over to Christie's December 15th if you're interested.
One more thing, Juliet. The famous Charging Bull sculpture on New York's Wall Street is getting some company. A statue of Harambe, the gorilla who became a viral meme in 2016, was installed by the founders of Sapien.network, the planned social networking platform, also installed 10,000 bananas around the statue. The installation was meant to show that Wall Street had gone bananas and out of touch with the everyday needs of people.
Wow. Oh, well, no more fearless girl. She's standing somewhere else, right?
Well, she's around the corner, yes.
Oh, she's
near the stock
yeah.
exchange.
Yeah. All right. I guess the more statues, the merrier. Good talking to you,
more
Frank.
For us to tear
tomorrow.
Down one day and move
yes,
when they become
yes, exactly.
on PC.
How dare they put bananas out there? Have a good day, everybody.